What followed thereafter is difficult to describe by one with the normal complement of senses and the normal incapacity for emotional control. Essentially, this is what Chanis realized in the tiny space of time involved in the pushing of the mule's thumb upon the trigger contact. The mule's current emotional makeup was one of a hard and polished determination, unmisted by hesitation in the least. Had Chanis been sufficiently interested afterward to calculate the time involved from the determination to shoot to the arrival of the disintegrating energies, he might have realized that his leeway was about 1/5 of a second. That was barely time. What the mule realized in that same tiny space of time was that the emotional potential of Chanis's brain had surged suddenly upwards without his own mind feeling any impact, and that simultaneously a flood of pure, thrilling hatred cascaded upon him from an unexpected direction. It was that new emotional element that jerked his thumb off the contact. Nothing else could have done it, and almost together with his change of action came complete realization of the new situation. It was a tableau that endured far less than the significance adhering to it should require from a dramatic standpoint. There was the mule, thumb off the blaster, staring intently upon Chanis. There was Chanis, taut, not quite daring to breathe yet. And there was Pritcher, convulsed in his chair, every muscle at a spasmodic breaking point, every tendon writhing in an effort to hurl forward, his face twisted at last out of schooled woodenness into an unrecognizable death mask of horrid hate, and his eyes only and entirely and supremely upon the mule. Only a word or two passed between Chanis and the mule. Only a word or two, and that utterly revealing stream of emotional consciousness that remains forever the true interplay of understanding between such as they. For the sake of our own limits, it is necessary to translate into words what went on then, and thenceforward. Chanis said tensely, "You're between two fires, First Citizen. You can't control two minds simultaneously, not when one of them is mine. So you have your choice. Pritcher is free of your conversion now. I've snapped the bonds. He's the old Pritcher, the one who tried to kill you once, the one who thinks you're the enemy of all that is free and right and holy. And he's the one besides who knows that you've debased him to helpless adulation for 5 years. I'm holding him back now by suppressing his will, but if you kill me, that ends. And in considerably less time than you could shift your blaster, or even your will, he will kill you." The mule quite plainly realized that. He did not move. Chanis continued, "If you turn to place him under control, to kill him, to do anything, you won't ever be quick enough to turn again to stop me." The mule still did not move. Only a soft sigh of realization. "So," said Chanis, "throw down the blaster, and let us be on even terms again. And you can have Pritcher back."